Hey there, Patriots. Thanks for stopping by In Circle. We're going to be talking about a whole lot of subjects today, and I'm going to try to do it quickly. If you want to call into the show, the call-in number is shown on the show page, 515-602-9725. It changes, I think, each show, so just pay attention to what's on the show page. A lot of stuff is happening, as you know, if you're paying attention. If you're not, I'm hoping that this will kind of bring you up to speed, because we are taking our country back, people, and it didn't seem like it for a while, but it's happening, and there's no doubt about it. And the Lord gave me another sign, and one laughs at my sign, but that's how the Lord talks with me. And I ask you, if you're looking or searching or trying to find connection with the Lord, just invite him in and ask him to fill you up and to show you what his will is, and turn your life over to the Lord and ask for forgiveness for your sins. Tell the Lord you want him to be your captain and to steer your ship. I know that's corny, but that's what it comes down to. Anyway, I debated about whether to tell you some of these things because it's personal and, you know, it's subjective. So, you know, you might hear it and go, oh, that's BS. Oh, I don't believe it. But I'm saying when you start having your own experiences, you'll understand that you know when you know. Okay, so it's just like when you meet the person you're supposed to marry and have babies with, you know when you know, you know when you meet them. And I want to talk to you about the wedding stuff that's going on. All right, so first things first, I want to talk to you about the events that I've listed there. They keep having events. These aren't just like one-shot deals, people. These are dedicated, patriotic, informed, smart, talented entrepreneurs and doctors and lawyers and researchers and people who have products and people who are scientists and have come up with all kinds of good stuff to help us. And I'm not saying that medicine is not needed. I'm saying that, well, just as in Chinese medicine, there's ways that you can help yourself. And I've been trying to save to my In Circle channel on YouTube, in the playlist, trying to organize other people who have shows that are important or can be useful or have a different perspective on things. And one of them is this cowboy guy I've been watching lately, who has books out on basically a homeopathic old-time remedies and cures for things. A lot of people know that honey is good for you, but did you know they could actually, you know, heal your cuts and wounds? I mean, the pioneers and the people who settled this country, which are not the people that's coming in right now through the border, those people were not here at the founding of America. Sorry, I'm not trying to be mean or rude, but we brought you over later, okay? You weren't here when America was settled. And what people call the natives, the first people, they came over on the land bridge and from Mongolia. That's why the natives look like they have unusual features, high cheekbones, and usually don't have big eyes. So the land bridge must have gone underwater or collapsed or something, and that's why it stopped happening. But the first people that were here, as they are called, are natives. They also did homeopathic and natural medicine. And the Japanese, and I'm finding out from my son's Vietnamese girlfriend that they have all kinds of homeopathic remedies. And one of the things I found out about that I want to tell doctors about is artichokes spoiling them, the ingredients in artichokes comes out into the water, and you drink it, it helps with pain and sleeping. My twin's been using it, it's been helping. So there's all kinds of exciting things going on, and you find out about them when you go to these events. And those aren't even all the events. I haven't finished the list yet. I'm just trying to keep everyone in circle, because in the loop, because there's so much to keep up with. Like right now, I'd rather be listening to what's happening on Capitol Hill, but I wanted to get this show out there because I think it's important to idea of, you know, why I feel as I do. One thing that happened recently was that I, without checking first, without doing a test, without doing a trial run, I uploaded an image that years ago when I uploaded it, I looked at it on my desktop. It was a field of sunflowers. And that was a significant photo to me because I had watched the movie Under the Tuscan Sky, and it had made an impact on me about this. It was based on a book and about a woman who was a writer trying to find her life after a divorce, and how everything, she was fixing up this mansion, old house in Tuscany. Anyway, in that movie, when they get off the bus and the tour guide says, follow the sunflowers. And so when I saw this field of sunflowers picture, I put it aside because it made me think of that movie, which impressed me so much. So my point is, I had years ago, before Trump, put that, I had felt like we were having this great awakening and that things were going to be okay and we weren't going to go into war. And, you know, I had good positive thoughts, and I had uploaded that sunflower picture, a field of sunflowers, and it looked fine on my desktop, but when I uploaded it, the flowers were all dead and wilted and dying. And I thought, you know, well, that's weird. It doesn't look like that on my desktop. And I, like, repeatedly, because I'm very stuck, putting it up, and every time it would be wilted. So it freaked me out so much that I did the only thing I knew to do, which was to try to reach out to what I call the white hats that I feel their presence watching me sometimes. And I said, look, you know, something's seriously wrong. I don't think this is the time to be doing anything major, and like as if they were going to listen to me, but I was so wigged out by it that that's what I did. Anyway, long story short, I recently had the feeling that things were going to be okay, and I uploaded the picture, the same one, without checking on it first, and the flowers were no longer wilted. When I was working on the first September 11th, 2021 Inspired Vision event that was to try to commemorate 9/11, but also to make it a day of gathering and for learning and to have reunions and that people, draw together and pray for our country. When I was working on that, I kept getting a picture that when I downloaded it, it said from the place I get my pictures from, sounds so weird. When I downloaded it, it said, Seize the Day, which is a line from Robin Williams' movie, Dead Poets Society. But when I looked at it on my desktop, it said, Cease the Day. And I went back, I thought I must have got the wrong one. Went back, downloaded it again. It said, Seize the Day, which seize, like, you know, make most of it, seize the day. And I downloaded it. And again, when I went to look at it on my desktop, it said, cease, as in cease fire, stop, don't do it. Okay, so that was the Lord trying to say, don't go to all this expense and trouble and all the sleepless nights and all the hassles and the problems I had and trying to get a venue and then getting a venue and then backing out on me and all those things that went down in 2021. If you want to know about that, you can look on the back on the past shows. But I kept thinking, all right, I had just listened to the Lord, and not just thought it was some weird glitch with the picture. You know, save myself lots of money, thousands of dollars. So the part that bothers me is to be working so hard and working as a volunteer and then spending money that I don't have to try to do something that's for the good of everyone, no feedback or support or not even a card saying, hey, thank you for your efforts for promoting, you know, my business for free or, you know, nothing. Okay. It's like being a slave basically. And I don't like being a slave. And I'm not saying send me money. I'm not saying that. I'm saying that this has been a labor of love, but it's been extremely hard to do because you don't have a team of people giving you support or saying, rah, rah, that's a good idea. No, you made a mistake there. There's an error in there. You have a typo. You know, it's been totally alone. And you know, not to belabor the point, but even with my family, I can't talk about them because, you know, they could lose their jobs. And I now know that everybody knows who my kids are and who my husband is. And I've, you know, been given hints from the government, like, you know, we know who you are. We know where you live. They even put a special sticker on my gate to identify us as that family that's making all the trouble. Yeah, that's how these people roll. Okay, they're wicked. Okay, and if I take it off, I think that maybe it'll just be put back on again. So not sure what to do about it. But that's the other thing. Pay attention to your car and your house, your gate, your fence, because they're marking people. And if you talk about being pro guns and they assume that you have guns, so they mark your property for their thugs and their imported scum. And I'm sorry, they are imported scum to go to hit your property. They're not going to go to, you know, some poor person's house that can barely, you know, pay the rent. They're going to go to somebody who looks like they are, have a decent car, they have a decent house, they have, American flag flying on the front porch or a Trump flag. I mean, do you know how there used to be so many Trump flags? People are afraid to put them out. I've got a huge one that I want to put out. I'm afraid to put it out because I know it'll get stolen because there's so many whack jobs thanks to the Democrats and the leftists. Obama, the great destroyer, the man that should never have been president because he was never eligible and he wasn't born in America. And if he was, it doesn't matter because his father was a Kenyan Marxist. The person he claims is his father, which I don't think he even knows because his mother was a slut. Yeah, I said it, Obama. Come and get me. Anyway, I digress. Anyway, so the point is that we have to pay attention because everyone that's having this feeling that they're supposed to be drawn and, you know, they're being drawn and feeling like they're supposed to be involved, they all have a piece of the puzzle. And I keep saying that, but I don't think people realize it. Like, for example, when I went to the Truth Tour in North San Diego in Escondido, the fellas that were there and the ladies, I spoke to a few of them. But one of the fellas, Derek Johnson, he was in military intelligence before he got out of the military. And he went through the very sane, logical explanation for how the military is in control of our country right now. I don't want to say martial law, but there's stuff going on behind the scenes that you don't know about. And the indications of that were played in full view, nothing in secret, like with DC being barricaded down and all that stuff. The Democrats want you to believe it's because of those terrible Trump supporters who had thousands of rallies and never even left a piece of trash, but suddenly they turned into terrorists. You know, if we were going to come and do an insurrection, we'd bring a whole lot more than a flag and a hat, okay? So back off, you stupid Democrats. You're so freaking evil. Should have been finished, when you were pushing slavery and did the KKK lynching on whites and blacks, 1,100 white people were lynched by you freaking Democrats. So just back off. Nobody wants to be near you. You're wicked. You have no moral compasses. So they had, you know, partitioned off D.C., but partially because it was a visual, because you're saying this is an enemy territory, okay? And I know that's going to blow your brains and, you know, oh, you're crazy. No, you're uninformed and you're totally have been taught incorrect history as well as nothing about the Constitution. There's a lot of there's a free Constitution class on Hillsdale College, by the way, hillsdale.edu, and that was President Reagan's favorite college. They don't take federal money, so they don't get told what to say and do. So that's the next part of this whole big, what I call inspired vision, or sometimes I call it Operation Rainbow, because we're near Rainbow, California. It's that we're going to go out of the matrix. We're going to go John Galt. And, you know, you can come along if you want to, but, you know, you're going to have to be contributing. You have to figure out what it is your skills are. Like, maybe, you know, you're a really good accountant, or maybe you're good at making films, or maybe you're a great cinematographer. I know somebody who's married to a guy who was a helicopter pilot in the Navy. I know another person who is into trains, and, you know, I think, like, well, what could he do? Well, for one thing, the educational children have, like, a children's museum, and they, you know, watch the trains on a table, and you know, give a presentation about, you know, our early years in history, how the trains, you know, brought lumber and supplies cross country, and how that changed things, like what the American Indians, the Native Americans, called the iron horse. That's what they called the train. The train is very important in a lot of these insights and dreams and things I've been having. And I recently saw Josh Turner doing his 20th anniversary tour of his hit song, Long Black Train, and it was awesome. And the people that came from all around the valley to go and see him at in Funner, which is near Valley Center and Rainbow. It was awesome. And I don't like casinos, but it was a big turnout. There's going to be a lot more music festivals going on, like Woodstock, but without the drugs and the crime. There's also going to be more schools being built, and the ones that are built that are run by communists are going to be having new administrators and staff, put it that way. People are in so much trouble because when you took your job, you swore to uphold the Constitution, and you haven't. You don't even have the kids saluting and saying a pledge of allegiance to the flag. You have them giving allegiance to the rainbow flag. Are you freaking out of your mind? Why would you want to promote being gay to kids? Why? They're not even thinking about sex in grammar school. Why are you pushing that? Because you're wicked and you're evil. Nobody wants anything to do with you. And I'll keep saying that every day, because I just can't believe the depravity of the Democrats and the Marxists and the fascists. You people, I don't even know how you keep a job. You look like something that came out of hell. And that's the other part that you don't realize, is that people can see demons attached to people. I don't see that. I told the Lord I didn't want to see that. But there are people that can see demons attached to people. So you're not going to be able to hide anymore, because a lot of people have been given different gifts. Like Mark Taylor, the fireman who wrote the Trump prophecies. Yeah, he's an ordinary guy, and he didn't ask, you know, like, hey, make me special. You know, he wasn't anything like that. He doesn't see demons, as far as I know, but there are people that can see ahead, put it that way. And they're the people that are changing things. For one person that could see ahead was Kim Clement, Kimball Clement Donne, House of Destiny. She's been at the Reawaken America events, the Time to Free America. It's where you can find out about the upcoming events. He saw a lot, and he saw that we would have two presidents. He saw it back in, like, I think 2007 or 2015. I always get that mixed up. But that's what we have right now. We have the president who actually won, if the cheating had not gone on and the people had actually looked at the results like they should have under the law. And we have the president who was put in to do the damage that he's done, which, you know, there's more damage than what you know about. But one of the things was damaging the, I want to say Nord Stream, but that's not it, Nord Stream pipeline, so that the European people would be up the creek for fuel. I mean, you have machinery that needs diesel fuel. You have machineries, even electric vehicles, that need some kind of power created from coal or from fuel to make electricity. So all you whack job with greenies and environmentalists, you don't know what you're talking about, okay? My dad and my brother spent their life hauling oil up and down the Hudson River, okay, and other places, Sandy Hook. And it makes the world go. And I'm not saying that's the only fuel that we should be working on or using. I'm saying that that's what we have right now, and we've got to be energy independent, because then we don't rely on other countries, and we can actually sell our surplus, and we can, in the meantime, be working on getting Tesla's free energy that he found out about. That's what they don't want you to know about, is that right now we're all suckers. We're paying for water and electricity and all this stuff, and there is so much that's being hoarded, and it's being hoarded by globalists and companies like off the books, dark ops, like the ones you hear about on TV. Anyway, so when I talk about getting ways for healing, something happened to me just recently, and I wasn't going to tell anybody because it sounds, you know, strange. But I keep trying to get my messages. I wanted to have a record of it in case something happens to me. But also, because I think, like, what good does it do me to, you know, I'm going to wait and put that in my book, you know, if I never get the book finished, or I never get it published, or it never gets put on a shelf because it's boycotted or burned or whatever. I mean, that's how I look at it. It's like, you know, what good does it do to be having these inspirations and insights if I'm keeping them to myself? So I try to share some of them as they happen. And just recently I shared the one where I went to the Green Thumb Nursery in San Marcos, California. And much to my surprise, I come around the corner and there's a huge life-size dragon there, as tall as the ceiling. And I mean, very detailed and beautifully painted. I don't know if it was a prop for a movie or what, but it was so cool. It was made out of, I think, metal. And I shared that in the last couple episodes because that tied into what I had seen years and years ago, which was us going after the beast with swords. And the beast is the government and the globalists and the Satanists and the pedophiles and the transhumanists and all the rest of the whack jobs that are in charge of things. They're not even elected, so I don't know why people even listen to them. But what I had seen looked a lot like a dragon, because I guess in my mind that's what, you know, evil, the beast would look like. So I run into this this huge dragon in the garden shop, and I'm like, oh wow. It's another story, but anyway, so I'm telling you about this because I don't want it to be that I keep it to myself and you know, no one knows about it. I've been involved with a few healings, and I've been involved with people telling me about things that they have experienced, and hearing about healings. So one thing is, you know, if you're a non-believer, you know, get your head screwed on, right? That, you know, there's, much as there's evil, there's good, there's the Lord and there's evil and Satan, whatever you want to call it. And one of the things that I was happy about was that the founder of Time to Free America, who's been doing all these events with General Flynn and all the frontline doctors and all the, you know, good people, Wayne Allyn Root and Roseanne Barr and, you know, whole group of really people trying to get the word out about what's happening and also about the jab and cure, you know, treatment, things like that. Dr. Stella Emanuel and Dr. Simone Gold, and, you know, there's a whole bunch of them. That guy, Clay Clark, his baby was born blind, and his baby now sees. His mother, his wife, was kept praying and praying and believing that the Lord was going to heal her son. And one day, Clay had a highlighter in his hand, and then the baby reached up and took it out of his hand. And the doctors have no explanation for, you know, how he was born blind but is no longer blind. Another fellow who's been involved with the reckoning events, Reckoning Fest and the Reckoning Socials, Chris Eryx, you know, it's like E-R-Y-X. They call him Baby Trump because he always is dancing in the crowd and looking happy. And he has a very, I don't say checkered past, but, you know, he's a good guy, put it that way. But, you know, he sold videos, and they were adult videos. He never looked at them, but he sold them. Anyway, Chris had cancer of the mouth, and now he's been doing a treatment program, and he doesn't have it anymore. There's people that are at these events are doing what the Lord told us to do in the book of Acts. Jesus said in the book of Acts, in the Bible, to pray for one another and heal each other and preach, spread the word. And I'm hesitating because I'm seeing another hawk or eagle going by. I wanted to get a picture. The Lord told us that we were supposed to do that. And then we all just thought, oh, maybe just go to church once a week and talk to each other and go home. You know, that's not what we're supposed to be doing. They're healing and praying for one another at these gatherings, not all the gatherings, but the Reawaken one in particular. And they're seeing good stuff happening. Sometimes it's just about that person feels, you know, physically better after being prayed for. In my case, the thing that happened to me recently, I was feeling a little bit blue and feeling like, you know, I said to the Lord, why did you put me through all this? Why did you put me through all the being distracted and consumed by this for years and feeling like I was supposed to do something and that, you know, it was up to me, like nobody else was going to do it. I didn't know it, but I was on social media. I was basically having my information altered, as in not getting all of it sent to me. So, like, I would follow people and I wouldn't get any information from them. And so I was not, like, I wasn't kept in the loop. Nobody was sending me memos. No one was saying to me, hey, Lori, did you hear about this? You know, I've been totally, and I've been banned from most platforms, including, I can't get into my Truth Social. It says it's disabled. So I guess I'm not supposed to be over there because I'm too weird and they don't want to be associated with me or something. I don't know. But I have noticed folks, as much as I've been putting down what Mike Lindell calls suck a buck, as much as I put down Facebook, you know, not everyone who works for the CIA and DARPA and even germ warfare, NIAID, whatever it's called, not all of them are whack jobs. And so I have seen recently on one of my accounts, and I have lost them because I kept being blocked or not remembering my password and being blocked. I see on one of my accounts, a lot of the patriots that are in this and then are the big mouth like me. But, you know, I'm not famous and I'm not invited to anything, but people like Liz Froken and Laura Loomer and Dr. Charlie Ward and Tom Renz and Stu Peters, who is a former cop, and Derek Johnson, the one I told you about, who I saw at the Truth Tour in North San Diego, Escondido. I noticed that they are on Facebook suddenly and accepted my friend request, or they friended me, I can't remember. Probably I asked them to be friends. I don't know why I would do that, because I don't really want people knowing who my family are. And, you know, I have these stupid relatives that, you know, put up, you know, all their middle names and their maiden names and all that stuff. And it's like, you're just setting yourself up to be having your identity stolen by giving out so much information. So I haven't really wanted to share too much because I'm not such a private person, but I mean, nobody cares. You know, it's like nobody wants to know about, you know, things that happened to me. But I am sharing this now because I think it will help you to see that we should be not afraid. We should be of good cheer, and there should be no more tears, because we're going into a whole new world, as the Aladdin song says. And I can say that because I was feeling kind of upset and asking the Lord. By the way, the chat room's open if you want to go in there and chit chat. And I put a PDF of a newsletter in there. It's one of the things I wanted to mention about, is that I, because of not having sponsors, because I talk about sex trafficking, can't get sponsors when I go on to the sites to ask sponsors to, you know, let me be an affiliate. They don't want anything to do with me. And part of it is that I'm not getting, I'm talking about subjects they don't want to talk about, like politics. And I'm not, you know, like the people who have big shows, you know, they're getting sponsors coming after them saying, hey, you know, be a sponsor. Well, if they get a sponsor, say like, I don't know, like My Patriot, for example, that does the, emergency food and kits and all that stuff and water filters. If they're a sponsor of like Jack Posobiec or Charlie Kirk or Glenn Beck or Steve Days, all these other shows that are out there, they're sure as heck not going to want me to be a sponsor or to be an affiliate, because you know, those are much more important and they have a bigger much bigger audience. And they also don't want to have the stuff that I'm saying reflect badly on them, because they have to be careful about who they choose as their affiliates and their sponsors. So what it comes down to is that if you are a person that's already working and you know that your company, you know, has some great product or whatever, then ask them. Say, I'll promote your coffee if you, you know, let me get a piece of whatever is sold. So you make a, basically a piece of code that you put into your website, and so when that person orders the product, the code tracks it back to you, and you get a referral. So I'm telling you this for a reason. The people, because of inflation and because of what's the people losing their jobs and things like that, with the economy, you know, tanking. It is tanking. Don't let them lie to you. It's not doing well. Just go downtown, look at the boarded up businesses. Just like when the pandemic hit, I was one of the first people to say they're rolling out their New World Order plan. Don't comply. And I said, don't you see, go down to the hospitals. They aren't overloaded. The parking lots aren't crowded. There's no tents and emergencies equipment in the parking lot because they can't take care of all the sick people. It was all propaganda. We all, most of people fell for it, hook, line, and sinker. So the lesson from the lockdown is don't be such a sucker. But anyway, when you're trying to get like what I call a side hustle going, think about what you actually like doing, and that should help you to narrow it down. Like one of my kids, my daughter, she's very careful with money, and she sells her clothing that she doesn't like anymore or whatever, that isn't using, on Poshmark, which is kind of great because you can get a designer, purse or jacket or whatever for a fraction of what it would be new. It also helps to recycle so it doesn't end up in the landfill. And it also helps people who, do have very good fashion taste, but they can't afford it, to enjoy having a nice wardrobe. So Poshmark is a good thing to check out. I mean, a lot of times people don't hear about things. That's probably why I put together my new site, which is right now I have LoriParish.com, but it's pointing at LauraBella.com, but it'll eventually point at this new site that's over on Tumblr, LoriParish.tumblr right now. I haven't changed it yet. And the reason I set that up is because you're dealing over there with, it's a very powerful site like Rumble, but and Locals. Locals is very powerful as well, and so is a lot of other sites out there. But what I see with Tumblr is that I look for things that are easy to use because, the people that are over 50, the technology skills aren't as advanced as young people. Like, I know that. I realized that long ago. And it's probably why my sites aren't finished, because I get to a jam where I don't know how to fix what's wrong and can't find where it is I'm supposed to, change the code and that kind of stuff, because my skills are rusty. But a lot of my sites are built and up, but they're not complete. And the reason I'm telling you about Tumblr is because there's a lot of what I call strangers over there. I don't think it's as bad as TikTok. That's basically run by the communist Chinese, and they're trying to purposely dumb us down and sex us up. Dumb us down and sex us up. But Tumblr, you can look at my site so far that I've built over there. It's Lori Parrish with two R's dot Tumblr. Like a lock tumble. Tumblr is what we call the mechanism inside of a lock. And I have the keys to the kingdom. So a good name. TUMBLR.com. Bottom line is that that will give you a way, like if you're doing a class or if you're trying to sell something that you've made or a service that you offer, it gives you another avenue to get seen. But the other part of it is that there's all kinds of other people already on that site. So you don't have to worry if you can't afford traffic. I mean, it's expensive to buy, hits or to get mailing lists so that, you know, you get business. I mean, for one thing, I don't like mailing lists because it's basically you tell someone you're taking their info, you're going to just use it for communicating with them. But whoever's owning the platform, you know, sells the data and the mailing list, and there's big money in that. And that's what Facebook is about and Twitter is about. And at least with Twitter, in case you haven't been over there, at least with Twitter, Elon's, there's a lot of mixed feelings about Elon, but I sense that he's a good man. And people who are willing to lose money or use their own money to try to save the world, I kind of like that. I admire that. But with Elon, he's trying to make that it's more of an interactive place with Twitter than it was before. And one of the things they have, in case you don't know, is spaces where you can go in and listen to other people talk about subjects. And, you know, that's how we got in this pickle, people, is people not listening to one another and, you know, banning people from campuses. For example, Charlie Kirk, who's a young man, he's married and has a child now, but I think he's in his 30s, maybe, like, no, I think he just turned 30. But, you know, he goes to campuses with Turning Point USA, and he talks to them. So does Candace Owen, Prager U, as well as Fire. I put it all into the guide that is linked on Lori Parrish dot Rumble or Tumble, TUMBLR.com. Eventually that'll just say go LoriParrish.com. But I put the ICU in circle guide that has the different people that are doing their own thing, but it's all for the good. It's all helpful and important and part of making life beautiful and promoting a culture of beauty and health and kindness and cherishing children and being good to people who have addictions and need help and being kind to our elderly and looking out for our neighbor. I mean, this is how America was built, okay? This is what we used to be until the communists and the Marxists and the leftists and the truly godless, soulless, lawless, clueless scumbags took over everything. They took over every government agency, every government office, every... Do you think that they really can't make the DMV and Social Security be more streamlined? You know, they run it like the military runs things, where it's orderly and organized. You could be in and out, but instead they make it so it's an ordeal to go to any government agency, and that's on purpose. They want us to be treated like serfs, so that we remember our place and we don't get out of line. And that leads me to what January 1st was about. I'm sorry, not January 1st, January 6th in D.C. I put on my Twitter feed, Lori and Company underscore Mark, and In Circle Team is my other account, the information about what went down that day. And I'm not saying all of it's true or correct, but you know, when you're seeing actual videos from people inside the the hired actors and hired Antifa and the media people setting up shots and going up on the tower and directing this person from the Young Turks who was involved with that, and a person from The Nation, which is a communist publication. Just as much as you think being a patriot, being wanting less taxation, less waste, less government down your throat. I personally don't, I've been abused and mistreated by the IRS. And, you know, there's a lot of people out there like Joe Biden that aren't paying taxes on their income with having, you know, 17 shell accounts offshore. They could be going after it. They'd rather harass people that they, you know, think are easy pickings because the IRS gets a piece of whatever they collect. That's their incentive. They don't go after drug cartels or, you know, tax cheats. They go after ordinary people that, you know, make a mistake or file late or like in my husband's case, he couldn't get his 10W2, whatever it's called, from the contracting job he had briefly. They went out of business or they wouldn't send it to him or, well, I don't know, but he couldn't get it. And it made him have to file an extension. And as soon as you file an extension, then they look at you and like, oh, look at that. You know, so these are vultures and they work for the Rothschilds and the Paysors and the other scumbags. They don't work for the U.S. government. And they don't understand that we're going to, you know, be taking them. They're not going to have a job much longer. Anyway, right now, Speaker Pelosi ended up being told to get out of the office that she kept when she was Speaker of the House because she was basically canoodling and colluding with the Republicans. And, you know, I used to think that Republicans were a lot different than Democrats. I don't think that anymore. I think that there are some that are great people like Rand Paul and Tim Burchett and Comer and Jordan Gates. You know, there's a lot of good Marjorie Taylor Greene. A lot of feisty ones in there, a lot of ones that, you know, speak up and then they get slapped down so they never see them again. There used to, like, there used to be a time when I was growing up where you'd constantly have representatives and senators giving press conferences and telling you what's going on. Now they just use it as a way to kick the can down the road. If they all stood up in unison and said, we're not going to approve trillions more in spending and giving billions more to the Nazis in Ukraine where the big farm has its labs and they are doing clones and experiments on people and that's where those kids are disappearing to. Yeah, people, that's what's going on. You know, we're not going to do that. Then what? You know, oh, the Democrats will go out there and they'll say that we don't care about funding the troops and the homeless people and the checks for the welfare and all that. Yeah, it's like, we need some tough love, okay? We can pick and choose what gets funded. And we don't need a corrupt FBI and we don't need an IRS and we don't need a DOJ. So all of you people, you're disposable. You think we're so disposable? It's actually you people. You unelected government workers. The government used to be fairly small, and now it has 80% of the population has some government-connected job. So you're the ones that keep making us be broke, and that when we're broke, we're vulnerable. So you're the ones that are traitors, not us, not me. So put that in your pipe and smoke it. Anyway, the thing I was going to tell you about that was assigned to me from the Lord that things were going to be okay. And this is kind of weird. You know, I have a friend who, whose father, I haven't seen her in a long time, but I consider her a friend. Her father was a pastor in Costa Rica, I think, if I recall correctly. Anyway, when he decided he was going to do that, he felt the call to become a pastor. You know, he didn't know how that would work because he didn't have any income. And sure enough, we just prayed about it. And sure enough, they would find food near where they were that was perfectly, you know, fine food, you know, that wasn't spoiled, wasn't moldy or anything. And it would be set out in the same place every day. And that got them through the period before the church started to grow and they started getting contributions from the church and being able to pay for their expenses. And it was just, he just had the faith that the Lord wouldn't have him do something if it wasn't going to be. All right. So then I had an experience when our son was in college. It's supernatural, and I'm saving it for the book, and I could tell you more about it, but it took place in Paradise, California, and my twin was with me, and he has no recollection of it, but we know what happened. And I witnessed and was part of the healing. And because my husband had lost his engineering job, our son's very sensitive, and it was really making him depressed, and he was just sad. He wasn't suicidal or anything like that. He was just, had like a spirit of sadness come over him. And he was worried about us and how we were going to pay our bills and pay for college because we had kids in college. And it affected him very badly. And he was far away up in Northern California at school. And I knew something was wrong, and we went up there. And I'm telling you, folks, it was like having a rag doll and then having a normal person again. Okay, that it was amazing. But I also had, the Lord sent his angels, put it that way. Then around that same time, I tripped on the landing and jammed my big toe on a column in my house where we used to live, and I dislocated my toe really badly, or maybe even broke it, and the pain was excruciating. And it was like in the middle of the night, like 1-2 o'clock in the morning, and I think it was right after my husband had lost his job, and so we didn't really have the same insurance. We lost our doctors because of losing his job, and all the dentist, and it's another story. But we didn't know what to do, and I had just learned about Torben Sondergaard of thelastreformation.com, and just basically healing and laying hands on people and healing and praying for them to be healed. I'm going to do that. And I'm just going to ask the Lord to heal my big toe, not my left foot, but my big toe. My left foot is a movie about soccer. Anyway, and with my husband there, and he wasn't like, he was like going along with what I told him to do. Like, come on, pray for me. We heard the toe reset itself. The pain stopped instantly. And, it was like nothing had happened to it. It might have been a little bruised, but I don't remember now. So this thing that happened to me recently, I'm telling you about these healings so that you realize that, you want to be part of this because, people are seeing amazing things going on. But if you're not paying attention to what I'm paying attention to, or going to these events, or talking to people who have had experiences, you're not going to be aware. And so you're going to go through life being being a doubter, being a atheist, being an agnostic, where you don't really have a set, opinion about things. You're going to go through life, being in pain or whatever. So this goes to the next part of this story, and I feel supposed to tell you this, so I'm just going to go ahead. But if you listen to the past shows, my dad was blind in one eye. He doesn't know how it happened. It might have been, an injury or something when he was young. My husband's blind in one eye. He got hit by a strap on a bed sheet because in the old days they didn't have Corsair sheets where you have the elastic in the corner. They had some sheets and you pin him to the mattress. And the seven kids were jumping on the bed, and the strap came loose and it just perfectly hit him in the eye. And over the course of days, he went blind. My friend is blind in one eye, and it's actually probably happened during playing, something hit him, and his parents didn't take him to the doctor, and his blind eye is really hard to look at. Sometimes he wears a patch. And my big brother, who I love so much, who's gone now, has been passed. His first girlfriend was blind in one eye. And when my son was little, he was trying to get something up high, and he stood on a desk chair that had rollers, and it went rolling backwards, and he hit his eye on the microphone of the computer, and he got a scar. He didn't damage his eye, thank goodness. And when I was growing up, my mother was always taking us to the eye doctor because they were so afraid that we were going to go blind if it was congenital. My dad's blindness, because he didn't know how that happened. So just recently, gone through a lot of stuff, and I guess you call it trials and tribulations, and a big personality change. My husband, thank you for your prayers, people, because I got my husband back. He's doing much better. You heard of the fairy tale Sleeping Beauty. I've had Sleeping Handsome. He just sleeps and sleeps and sleeps. And he was going through a phase where he's falling and hurting himself. But he's been to the doctor and been checked out. So he's doing better. But anyway, so I was feeling, I don't want to say sorry for myself, but thinking, like, what's this all about? Why would you put me through this? Why would you give me these visions? Why would you have me sharing my life, which I don't even want to do, but I thought maybe it would be helpful to other people, and especially because I know that if, people are united, we'll have a lot less chance of a civil war and a lot less chance of violence, and, if people don't feel alone, they might not be suicidal. They might not do drugs. They might not leave their wife or their husband, or I knew that we had to be unified in order to get through this. And I don't even know that necessarily we all have to be, Christians. There's a lot of people coming to the Lord that are not Christians. That they weren't like bad people. They weren't Satanists, but they weren't. Like, I know people that you would assume are believers, and they're not. They just never were exposed to it. They just don't have any opinion about it at all. So a lot of this is what I'm trying to say to you is what Mike Lindell has said repeatedly, which is we're going to see the greatest awakening and movement for the Lord that has ever been seen. And I think that's what's happening. And this is what happened to me just recently that made me think that it's connected. I was just explaining to you about all the issues with blindness in my family, or blindness of people I know, and Clay Clark's baby being blind, diagnosed as blind, documented as blind, and now that baby sees, praise the Lord. I was asking the Lord, like, why did you do this? Why did you put me through this? I'm a laughing stock. I have people obviously listening to what I say, but I've told them not to follow me because I don't want them to get in trouble. And because I make these newsletters and things. By the way, the newsletter with the street in Europe design on it. The Encircle Us one that's looks like a street in Europe. That got 160,000 views. I was so thankful for that. But anyway, I took a screen grab of it and put it on the Twitter feed so you could see it. I think it's on InCircle Team Twitter. It might be on Lorian Company _ Mark. I can't remember. And I'm also on Getter at Laura Bell and Lorian Company and, you know, Lori Company B. I mean, I have all these different accounts because for each thing I'm doing, you have to have a designated social media account. Anyway, so getting back to my story. So why would you put me through this, Lord? You know, and didn't do any. My kids aren't married. No, my son did. Our son did get engaged. Getting married next year. Lord willing. But you know, our daughter is still single. I didn't get my barn built. I didn't get, you know, I didn't get to feel like I was included or part of any of this. Even on the 9/11 this year, I was ill. Like, I was feeling like, what the hell? And if you look at the old shows, you'll see that in New York City on September 11th, a huge, huge rainbow, double rainbow, was over the area where that tragedy happened 22 years ago. So I went out for a walk with my colleague, and I wasn't really praying, but I was just saying, like, what's it all about, Lord? And suddenly my eye went blind. And blind enough that it had like a whole like streaks, like almost like what it would look like if you wrote on glass with a grease pencil. So it was like I'm standing there going, oh great, I'm gonna be made blind. I was like, are you kidding me? Like, that's my big payoff in all of this. I get to go blind. I mean, I was like, OMG. As I said, it looked like what it would look if you think about a piece like a window pane, and with someone was on the other side, you know, marking it up with a grease pencil or whatever. It looked like that, and it was moved. It wasn't, you know, staying. And I thought, what's that, floaters? Like, you know, I've heard of that too, where you have things that you see floating around. And it lasted, you know, long enough to make me wig out. And so I said to the Lord, please, Lord, I ask in the name of Jesus Christ Almighty, make this go away. I don't want this to happen. Please, Lord, help me, save me, heal me, Lord, for you to take this away. And I was like, well, I've done all I can do. You know, like I'm going to see if it gets worse. And he went away. Very, very long story for a very anticlimactic ending, but it went away. Okay. I think that the Lord was saying to me that I have got to do what I am always talking about. I've got to get out there with the people, do what Torben Sondergaard did, and start trying to heal people and being present and praying for people and asking the Lord to heal them. And I mean, obviously, if the Lord can heal anybody he wants, it doesn't need me or anybody else to be involved. But what we do, we become like conduits, become like jumper cables, basically. So that's what I think was what the message was about. Get out there, start doing it, putting it into use. Don't just talk about it. Just start believing and relying that the Lord will take care of things and help. And that's what Mark Taylor, the firefighter, went through. He was about in the field doing and talking and praying for people because that's what his church was, you know, advocating. And in case you didn't know it, Torben Sondergaard was deported by the Biden administration. He was put in prison for 413 days in Baker County, Florida. I asked Governor DeSantis to help him. He did not help him. Unbeknownst to Torben Sondergaard, his visa had been revoked by the Danish government because the Danish government, like the Dutch government, like the British government, like Australian, like New Zealand, like South America, like African, they all have their plants, their indebted scumbags and globalists and paid off dirtbags. And that's what you are. So I'm going to call it what, like it is. And so that somebody got the call in the Danish government to screw with Torben because you can't have a national reawakening going on, or a, you know, revival going on where people are, you know, instead of rioting, they're actually praying for one another and healing people and baptizing people and singing music that's inspired from the Lord and playing instruments that they never knew how to play, which is going on. They really, really didn't want that man here. And, you know, he's in an undisclosed part of Europe now. I knew and sensed that he was in California, and I never got to meet him. I reached out many times, but I never heard from him that I know of. And that's the other thing I realized, is that my emails and phone calls have been screwed with. I've seen my whole contents of my laptop basically go up into the cloud that I didn't authorize, and I didn't do that. I don't want to do that. So all of my info and pictures and everything, the shadow government has it all. And if anything happens to me, I wanted to get this message out to give you hope, because good times are coming, and the best is yet to come. And it's not a joke, people. It's not wishful thinking. It's how our mindset has to be. And that ties into Star Trek again, the original series, with William Shatner, the episode, I don't know which one it is, called The Children Shall Lead. And there's this, like, what they call the friendly angel, and they start behaving, you know, demonically. And basically the Klingons and the crew of the Starship Enterprise realize that, you know, it's this entity is feeding on their hate and fighting. And they start laughing and, you know, basically pushing out this entity by being joyful and full of good cheer. So that was a very prophetic episode as well. And in case you don't know it, a lot of people think that Gene Roddenberry, who was a police officer, and I've seen a lot, a lot of people think that he was getting downloads, inspiration, or even maybe visits from, not of this world people. And I don't mean aliens, I mean heavenly people, people from heaven, or beings from heaven. And, you know, remember, the Bible says, you know, be careful, because you can be entertaining angels unbeknownst, not even realize it, people that, you know, you think are just ordinary people, but they're actually angels. The Lord can do anything. Michael Knowles, who's with PragerU, when he was at a point in his life where he was really down on his luck and wondering what his future was going to be after college, he actually had angels come and talk to him. And, you know, he's a Catholic, so, he wasn't expecting he wasn't expecting it. So listen to his story. And that's the whole thing. We have got to share and listen to each other. And that part is difficult, because you have people who are living in fantasy worlds and in virtual reality. You have people who are strung out on drugs who don't know what's going on. We have people that are being brainwashed into, you know, bizarre ways of thinking and really, you know, like comical, you know, you're not an anti-fascist, but you're telling me I have to shut up and I can't have an opinion. You're a fascist. No, you're a fascist. No, look in the mirror. You know, it's like we're dealing with very intentionally dumbed down people. And I know people don't want to hear that, but I'm going to say it because I know how it used to be. And this is the effects of the Obama the Destroyer and Slow Joe Biden. They have put very wicked people in power, just like the judge who is going after Trump. You know, he's paid all his bills. He's, you know, everything. He hasn't done anything, but they can still pretend that, you know, oh, you're overvaluing your property and use incorrect information to come up with their own idea of what a property is worth. For example, this 2-acre property near Mar-a-Lago, that's, I think, valued at $150 million. Trump's property is 20 acres, plus it has, you know, a lot of things on it besides just land. I'm talking about 2 acres near the ocean for $150 million, and then they're saying that Trump's property is overvalued. Also, Trump's property is an historical landmark. It was originally owned by the heir to the post-serial fortune. And she left it to the government as a to be the Southern White House. And anyway, Trump bought it. Trump also bought the old post office in D.C., and he made that into a hotel. Because Trump is a visionary guy, people, okay? He's blunt. He was just in California, and I wish I could have seen him. He's up in Anaheim. And he told the crowd that we're going to get the, you know, MFers, okay? He said the word, and the people cheered. Because that's what these people are. These are like the lowest scum of the earth. And we're supposed to be listening to them and ruled by them? No way. Anyway, Trump calls it like he sees it, and he says things that are offensive, especially to people of faith like Franklin Graham and Mike Pence. You know, they're very, very religious people. And so, you know, they find Trump and his way of speaking or bluntness or being on the attack or saying things that, you know, aren't necessarily nice to hear but need to be said, they find that offensive. So they want somebody more like, you know, Mr. DeSantis, Governor DeSantis, who I think has a, you know, big future in politics. I just don't think it's right now because we need someone that's going to be able to do all the major surgery that needs to be done in D.C., and I personally think they're going to have to move the Capitol out of D.C. because the place is vile and demonic and satanic. It's, you know, really, it's been hijacked for a long time, but put it that way, people. And Trump can do the hard part because he doesn't have to worry about a second term. He can only do 2 terms and doesn't have to, it's not clear in the Constitution whether it's 2 consecutive terms or not, but like right now, Obama is running the show. He's the one that's flooding the border with his Muslim brothers and jihadists. They all happen just to be young. Isn't that funny how none of them are coming with their wives and kids? They're all from Somalia and Bangladesh and other countries in Africa. And they all just happen to be young, fighting age, and radicalized. And they're not here because they want to be free. They are here because they want to live off of us. And I told you before in other past episodes, you know, this idea that it's the religion of peace, maybe that's how some people, Muslims, look at it, but that's not what their history in their book says. And every time I post what their book actually says about killing Christians and Jews and wiping them out and pretend that you're nice until you can take over and have a big enough, you know, group. Every time I post that, which is right from their book, Muslim's book, I get banned because they don't want you to know what the plan is, which is world domination using jihadists and I guess pedophiles, because you know, they want your kids as well. And if you want to know more about that, what I just said, it's a great video on YouTube, Dr. Bill Warner, W-A-R-N-E-R, called Why We Are Afraid and the Secret History of Islam. And it lays it all out and explains the people are good. It's just that the leaders became radicalized and, you know, never had a reformation. It keeps pushing the same, you know, strange ideas of Muhammad about wiping out infidels, you know. So the Muslim people aren't our enemies. It's their leadership that want to take over by sheer numbers. They have also have multiple wives and huge families. So that's another way they do it. And the same way with the illegal aliens. You know, some of them really just want a better life, but they don't think that it's wrong to cancel our votes, even though they know nothing about what the Democrat Party is about or the platform, or they claim to be, you know, Mexican Catholic, but they're somehow voting for Democrats that are pro-abortion and selling baby parts and organs. So, you know, it doesn't square. So we are seeing the invasion documented on americasvoice.news, Law and Border. They show it all, people. I mean, it's pretty scary when you, especially when I'm in California, when you see this, you know, invasion going on and the media is not talking about it, not even covering it. So it used to be that we could count on 6 o'clock news. You know, you have, you know, everyone would watch the news at 6 o'clock and they would see what happened that day. Sometimes it'd be local, sometimes it'd be, you know, international, national news. Now there's news nonstop, but on top of it, you have it's that nobody really knows or realizes that the news is not covering the news. I mean, they are so controlled. And, you know, it was during the church committees, it was in the 1950s, they admitted that the CIA had their people in place and they were, you know, running the show. And they admitted in the 1950s having 300 CIA operatives in the media. Well, you can't have a free press if you have a controlled resistance or controlled opposition in the news. So I'm just looking at my Twitter feed, and it's Lori, L-O-R-I, and company, Gormark. And they're going after J.K. Rowling, who wrote the Harry Potter books. You know, she was almost broke when she wrote those, and she felt like the Lord just downloaded it. I think that they're, you know, really incredible books. My son was into that when he was young. But, you know, it's all this witchcraft and weird stuff and, you know, the half-caste prince and all this stuff. I couldn't get into it. And I don't think I saw all the movies, just the first one. But I don't get the impression that she's evil, but she's in trouble with the thought police because she has put down this, you know, tranny movement and push. So if you go over to twitter.com/LoriandCompany_Mark, first thing you see pinned to my profile is the video made by Wu's News, who shows what happened on January 6, 2021 from his point of view, because he was there with the group of actors and media. And there were also veterans and patriots there. Like, they demonize the Proud Boys as being a white nationalist group. The Proud Boys has every nationality in it, and, or I should say, every race in it. And unlike BLM, that you have to be black to be in it. And BLM is racist, and so it was Antifa. The Proud Boys was about trying to reach out to the young men who were being radicalized, and especially like up in San Francisco and Berkeley. And, you know, when they did try to do that and have prayer vigils and all that stuff, they got attacked by Antifa, because Antifa is connected to big money through George Soros, who's a declared Nazi collaborator and became a U.S. citizen. That should be pulled right away as soon as Trump is president again. Kick his ass out of here, Trump. Get rid of George Soros, who also crashed the British pound. And the veterans that were in the crowd on January 6, 2021, a lot of them went because they had heard through their contacts that there was going to be basically a setup, and that Pelosi had refused to have the National Guard. So there were people, not like the National Guard, but they were wearing costumes, people. They were right out of central casting, as Trump often says. You can tell that they weren't really National Guard because of the way they behaved when things got weird, like when people had a heart attack. National Guard had, been trained on how you react and do things. And they kept, it's so obvious what happened that day. And I think it got out of hand, and now everyone's embarrassed, because if they admit that they, the saying, screwed the pooch, they admit that they were trying to make a visual to incriminate Trump. And so they hired all these crazy actors, and they said to the Antifa people that had been arrested during the riots, if there were any, we'll lighten your sentence if you do X, Y, and Z at this, at the Capitol, break some windows, and we'll reduce your sentence. I'm like, that's how these people and the feds roll. Okay, that's how dirty cops and dirty FBI work. And I'm sorry, there's a lot of them, because if you are struggling and you're poor and you see everyone else getting rich around you, all these drug related crime, etc. Often you get dirty, even if you have the best, you don't have any intention of doing that when you become a cop. I don't know any dirty cops. I know good cops, but the people that were at January 6th, they might not have intended to get violent. They didn't know that the older fellows were going to have a heart attack and a stroke, and then there was so chaos and noise and commotion and smoke grenades and shots going on that the paramedics, even if they had been called, which I don't think they were, they wouldn't have gone into that crowd, because they would have been risking their own lives. And maybe it was play acting when I've seen the videos of the people being pulled off to the side by cops and, literally pummeled, like just beaten up mercilessly, without any holding back. Maybe that was all play acting to try to, get the crowd upset. But when you have patriots and people that know that the election was not legitimate, and they're trying to push real quickly to certify it, with some people saying not even the real delegates that were supposed to be certifying it and giving their permission, which is also how Democrats roll. You just cheat. You're just disgusting people in mass. Maybe not on an individual basis, you're not so bad, but in mass, you're disgusting. Violence towards a woman, especially like Roseanne Boylan, who had her head hit and she bled out, supposedly. I believe that's correct. And the two men, Greeson, I've forgotten the names of the two men. That happened. Maybe what happened with, I saw the video of Ashley, right hooking the Antifa punk when he tried to break the window. Maybe she didn't get shot fatally. I don't know. But I think it was possible that she did. And it was also a good way to break up the riot that was going on. Because the people that were there, the people that I have spoken to, they felt like it was getting, like it was an ambush and that it was going to become like a Kent State, which, you know, if you're not an older person, that's when LBJ gave the National Guard permission to fire on the protesting students. Kent State. So it was definitely a very dangerous situation, and President Trump said, you know, we're not going to protest anymore. I want you to go home, you know, be with your family, be with your loved ones, and, you know, get, you know, just calm down. So this, if you want to know more about what I just said, go to Laurie and Company or InCircle Team on Twitter. And, you know, I'm easy to find. Laurie Parrish got Rumble, or I'm sorry, Tumblr, T-U-M-B-L. And it looks like I'm getting out of time. I didn't get to everything, but I did cover the three healings that I've been through. I want you to think about that in relation to your own life. Ask the Lord to heal you and believe that he will. Ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless America so we can bless the world and people be brave and we'll all be free. Forgot to mention that the special offers will be posted on my Twitter feeds from other people that are part of this movement. All right, God bless you, people. Hang in there.